to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
A million and a half people come in for this week or to 2 week period. And if you've ever been to L.A. in that area, you know the traffic situation to start with. Add a million and a half people for 2 weeks. It was unbelievable. And Samuel, though, sends his greetings to you. We think that he will come for the wedding when Jennifer and Kirby get married. So we'll get him to come up here and speak to us. And otherwise, he's not traveling. He's as stubborn as a day is long. He will not travel. And so we tried to talk him into coming again, and he would vaguely promise somewhere in the future. So he sends his greetings, and we'll have him here probably this year sometime as it goes. All right, Jude chapter 1, which is the only chapter there is, verse 24 and 25. Did I catch you unawares back there? Jude, go ahead and start it. There we go. I wrote a song this morning. I wrote a part of it in the last couple of weeks when we had this our reading. You know, if you're doing the daily reading with us, this was just a few weeks ago. And I wrote a song, started a song, then I finished it this morning to do it with this sermon. And I'll show you about that in just a second. But the scripture says, now to him who is able. Everybody say God is able. God is able. Well, he's able to do what? He's able to keep you from stumbling. All the stumblers say amen this morning. Come on. Amen. To keep you from stumbling, and I like this next part, and to present you blameless. Last night we had a big wedding in here, and Isaac got married. Isaac, if you remember, Isaac plays drums for us sometimes. And Isaac got married. And the way that when I do a wedding, after I pronounce them man and wife, I like to present. I now present to you Mr. and Mrs. Everybody say Mr. and Mrs. I present to you, listen, you're not just going to get to heaven and just kind of, you know, get on into heaven and nobody know you arrived. Can I tell you that when you get to heaven, you're going to be presented. Come on, somebody. I now present to you Terry Workman, blameless. Come on, somebody. When I get to heaven, I'm not just going to get to heaven and all of us are going, we're going to be presented one by one. We're going to be, everybody say presented. We're going to be presented. We're going to be ushered into heaven with a presentation. There's not going to be this, you know, if you ever kind of thought that through how you're going to get into heaven, you know, just a big crowd of you. Like we went to Universal Studios. We were out in California. And you can imagine Universal Studios. It took us almost an hour or more even to get our ticket to get into Universal Studios. And a lot of people think that's the way heaven's going to be. It's going to be so big and so crowded and so many billions and millions of people coming through. We're just going to be kind of like, you know, Disneyland brought through in a bigger. No, the Bible says that God is able not only to keep you from stumbling, but to present you blameless. God is going to present you in heaven. To present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. Aren't you glad? He goes, well, here comes Terry Workman. Oh, Lord, let me on in, you know. Everybody say with great joy. There's going to be great joy when Jesus presents us before the Father. He says, Father, here's my servant. And you hear God, and great joy goes forth. And God says, well done, thou faithful and good servant. Come on, somebody. All right, verse 25. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority. I love this last phrase I wrote in this little song I wrote this morning. Before all time. Let's say before all time. Before all time, now, and forever. Before all time, which is yesterday. Now, which is today. And forever, which is tomorrow. Be glory, majesty, dominion, authority, yesterday, today, and forever. I love that phrase though, before all time. Did you know there was a time before time? Before all time. Before. And then it says, not only then, but now and then forever. And look at Hebrews, says the same thing. We'll read it. Next scripture, Hebrews. Quickly. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Everybody read that scripture with me. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, today is the first Sunday of January, and I want to talk to you today about your yesterday, your today, and your tomorrow. There was the name January comes from the Roman god Janus. And do you have the picture of him up there? The god named Janus. And you can kind of see it's a little fuzzy. But if you look at it, Janus was a god of the Roman god that had two faces. And he was the patron god of beginnings and endings. And they named the month January because it's a new beginning looking forward, and yet a lot of people look back. And so they named it after this god Janus, where we get our name January from. And it was the god that was the patron god of the beginnings and the endings. And it had to do with him looking backwards and looking forward. And this morning I want to do that, because your yesterday and your tomorrow affects your today. What you think about yesterday and what you think about tomorrow is literally what affects how you live today. Many people live today based on yesterday or based on tomorrow. Everybody knows what it was like about, you know, December 20th or 21st, 22nd, if you had small kids. Their whole life changed. They were happy all the time. They were looking forward to Christmas coming up. They were excited. They were all, because their tomorrow was affecting their today. Some people, you know, like right now, you know, your yesterday is affecting today. You can't believe you ate the whole thing. Come on, somebody. It's affecting your today, because you know that yesterday is going to affect your tomorrow, what you can and cannot eat. So let's pray. I want to talk to you today about two giants. Put that up there. I want to talk to you about two giants. That is your yesterday and your tomorrow. Let's pray. Father, we ask you this morning that you would help us and that you would bring us truth and that you would take us away from just a mundane, everyday human experience, and you would bring truth into our lives that we can experience it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Turn around, somebody say Happy New Year. Would you say it to them this morning? The Bible speaks and says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means that whatever answer you need for your yesterday is Jesus. Whatever answer you need for your future is Jesus. He is the answer to what you need. I want to start off with giant yesterday. You know, one of the hardest things and battles you'll ever face is yesterday. Things you've done in your past, the kind of person you were yesterday. Because it haunts you. It comes up. There's something about our minds has the ability to replay incidents. And sometimes it's correct. Sometimes it isn't. But it brings up yesterday what we did, what we were. One of the tactics of the devil is to put yesterday between you and Jesus. But what Jesus wants to do is be between you and your yesterday. I've learned to never allow pressure and problems to drive me from the Lord, but to drive me to the Lord. Some people let a something that happens drive them away from God, get mad at God, get angry, get despondent with themselves to where they believe God will never accept them. Let me tell you something about God. The day is coming when vengeance will be in God's hand. The Bible says that the last day, can you imagine? There'll be a day when the last person that's ever going to be saved will be saved. And the Bible says the day of grace ends and the day of vengeance begins. But that day is not today. Come on, somebody. Today is still the day of grace. That tells me there's nothing that I cannot go back to God and say, God, I repent. I'm break before you. I'm leaving that behind. And the Bible says that he is righteous and just to forgive you your sins. So you're at that place right now. But yesterday is a giant. When you do things, when the devil stands and says, where do you think you're going? You know, right now, some of you are this past holiday season, some things took place that you right now wish you had not done, had not been involved in. I'm not going all the way back to before you were saved. I'm talking about just right now. And what the devil does, he comes before you and tells you it's over. You know, God will not forgive you. Giant yesterday is our guilty past. It's beyond when before we got saved to after we got saved. All things we used to do. It brings it up. Giant yesterday comes to us and with the intention to bring discouragement into our lives. He stands and says, you cannot be forgiven. God does not love you. God will not forgive you. God's not for you any longer because of this. You know, one of the greatest men that ever lived was Martin Luther. And he brought Reformation. He brought what we call the Reformation. And he literally broke from Catholicism and brought in Protestantism, that we believe today that you don't have to have a priest between you and God. You can go straight to God for yourself. You don't have to have a man between you and God. You can read the Bible in English, plain English. You don't have to have it in Latin and all that. And he brought it all in. And listen, he was so instrumental that many times during his life, the devil himself came and attacked him. Now, we're not big enough. You know, when we say the devil didn't do anything. Maybe one of his little demons did. Look at somebody and say, you're not that important. Would you say to somebody, you're not that important? The devil himself does not come and take time with you. His minions, his little demons will. But Martin Luther was of such stature that the devil himself came repeatedly to Martin Luther. And one time in a dream at night, Martin Luther had a dream, and the devil came to him in his dream. And the devil had this big scroll. And Martin Luther stand there and he asked, he said, what is that in you? And the devil says, I've got all of your sins listed on this scroll. And Martin Luther said, what are they? And the devil began to read them, and he read them and read them and read them. And when he got done, he said, these are your sins. Did you do these? And Martin Luther says, I did. And then Martin Luther said, is there any more? And the devil said, oh yeah. And went and he came back with a bigger scroll than the one he had to start with. Began to read all of his sins. He says, did you do all these things? And Martin Luther says, I did. And the devil says, then you're damned forever. God does not receive you. God is not for you. And Martin Luther, the revelation that he had about the grace of God, he said, but take, he had an inkwell. He said, take it. And he wrote across, he said this in his dream. He says, the blood of Jesus, God's son, cleanses me from all unrighteousness. Come on, somebody. And the devil disappeared. You know, one of the keys about living about your past is you've got to realize when giant yesterday comes up before you, there's nothing you can do about your past. But we serve a God who deserves glory and dominion and all this before all time. That means God is before all time. And the Bible says he is able to keep me from stumbling. Secondly is, he is able to present me blameless. Can I tell you, how can he do that? Because I believe this, if I walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of his son cleanses me from all unrighteousness. I believe this, there are times in my life, you've got to come to the place where you stop recalling and letting giant yesterday pound you about your yesterday. W.P. Nelson was one of the great evangelists of the old days. I told this story one time because I remembered it. It was told by Brother Crouch. And Brother John Crouch was Brother Samuel's oldest friend. They'd gone to Bible college together. And he passed away this past week, week and a half. And he's in glory right now. But I'll never forget, he told a story one time. And it was of a guy, W.P. Nelson, who was one of the great evangelists in England. Many countless thousands were converted under his ministry. But before he became a Christian, the reason he lingered and never became a Christian earlier was because of his past. And he said what happened was he used to run a business and he had a train. And he used to go out to the bush country, the country they lived in, and he would pick up cattle from the countryside and the farmers and bring the cattle into the city where the government would buy them. And what he began to see was he said, you know what? All I'm doing is getting money for transporting. You know what I could do? I could get a little bit dishonest. And he began to sell the cattle off along the way. And he'd stop at some other city and sell some of the cattle off. When he got to the big city, he'd say, you know, those old farmers, you know, they can't count right. And he would keep it. And he did this and got away with it. Finally, the officials became, curious and became suspicious. And they hid an inspector on the train one time to catch him what they're doing. Somehow W.P. Nelson heard about it, and they stopped out in some lonely part of the railroad track, went from car to car till they found him and said, we found the thief finally. Kicked him off the train, came in and told the government. Got away with it. Well, it doesn't seem like a big deal to you, but he said one day he came under the hearing of the gospel. He was in church one day. And he heard about the gospel message, and he said his heart warmed and he wanted to give his life to the Lord. He said a curious thing happened. He came to the altar, and when he closed his eyes, he said on the inside of his eyelids, all he could see was cattle. Come on, somebody. Whenever he wanted to get saved, all he could see was cattle on the inside of his eyelids. You remember the old joke about the guy that promised the church that he was going to sell a calf and give it to the church as an offering? But then he reneged and he didn't do it. And he walking by the church one day and he heard them singing, "The calf has never yet been sold." They were singing, "The half has never been told." But what he heard was, "The calf has never." And W.P. Dale said every time he closed his eyes, he could see cattle, until he heard one day that scripture, "The blood of God's Son, Christ Jesus, cleanses me from all unrighteousness." And he said, when he said that, the cattle disappeared on his eyelids and he never saw them again. Amen. What do you see when you close your eyelids sometimes? What giant yesterday is standing before you and not allowing you? See, there are some things that will block the voice of the Lord to you. You remember when Jesus came on the scene of Lazarus had died? Remember that story? And the Bible says, he said unto them, "Roll away the stone." And I used to think he only did that so that Lazarus could come out. But he did that before he said anything. If that was the whole story, he could have said, "Lazarus, come alive." And then he could have said, "Now roll away the stone, the man's alive." The Bible says he told them before he spoke, "Roll away the stone." See, there are some things that block the voice of the Lord to you. What giant is standing there not allowing you to believe what God said about forgiveness for your life? What stone is keeping death in your life? What blockage is keeping you from believing that God has cleansed you and that he's able to present you blameless? Some of you are sitting there thinking, "Oh, he's going to present everybody else blameless, but not me." Let me tell you, I believe with all my heart, he's going to present me blameless. Aren't you glad the word didn't say faultless? Big difference between being presented faultless and being presented blameless. Blameless means I may have done some stuff, but I got it right with God. And I'm no longer blameless. I'm free from it. And now what happens is this. Many times there's these things that block the voice. You're just sitting there and you can't receive it. You can't receive it. You can't hear the voice of the Lord to bring life into your life because you're sitting there in death because there's some giant of a stone or giant that's blocking the voice of the Lord to you. Not only does that need to be rolled away so you can come out, it needs to be rolled away even before the Lord can speak into your life. There's some things the Lord wants to say, but you've got to believe. And one of the biggest ones is giant yesterday. When it comes against you, you need to come to the place in your life where you believe the word of God. And one of the ways that is this. We're going to talk about this. January on the 10th, next Sunday is the 10th of January. We're going to do a 21-day fast together. Oh, everybody say amen to that. Oh, amen, brother. 21-day fast from the 10th of January to the 31st of January. And what I've learned is this, fasting is the greatest, most powerful way that you can break evil and break boulders and break giants. It's in your life. You can't do it just by making up your mind saying, "I'm going to do this." And you'll find out that fasting and prayer is when that comes alive. See, what I've learned to do is this, before I can defeat the devil, I've got to tear down the stronghold that he's in. One of the keys about fighting is you learn this. If you're fighting an enemy, if you can strip him of his armament, if you can strip him of whatever he's believing or trusting in that's given him position, if you take back the territory that's been given him, if you take back the place that you gave him, you can defeat him. Ask Samson. He gave away his integrity. He gave away his holiness. And he gave away, and he had his hair cut. And he could not defeat them. But when he took his hair back, when his hair began to grow, and he took his holiness and his humility, he'd been proud before. But when he got his holiness back, the Bible says he did more in his last days than he did all his life. You got to learn this. There are some of you the Lord wants to speak into your life, but there's things blocking it. And the biggest thing in you is giant yesterdays. It's all those things that you wished you'd not done. Those things that even though you asked forgiveness. Let me tell you something. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same. What he was yesterday, he is today. What he is today, he'll be tomorrow. Let me ask you, what was he yesterday? I'll tell you, let's deal with giant yesterday. What was he yesterday in terms of giant? Well, I know the story of a woman who was being dragged out to him by these religious officials. Jesus, we caught her in the very act of adultery. Moses said, take up stones and stone her. What do you say? Kept writing in the sand. Finally, he looks up and he says just these words. You're absolutely right. That's what he's saying. You're absolutely right. He said, yeah, that's exactly what the law said. Exactly what Moses said. You've interpreted correctly. Now, you that are without sin, cast the first stone. Now, they had rocks in their hands already. They came prepared. They weren't just looking. They came. They'd already. This was rigged. This was set up. They had jagged stones, big stones in their hands. And the way it worked in that day was they honored the old people. Come on, all the old people say amen. They honored the old people in that day. And what happened was in that day, you gave preference to the gray head. And when Jesus said that, every eye went to the oldest man. They knew who he was. Wasn't in doubt he had his place. They went straight to him. Every eye looked at him. Big jagged stone in his hand. But when every eye looked to him, Jesus also looked at him. And Jesus looked not. You ever had anybody look at you but look through you? And Jesus looked to the depth of that man. Man, these are guys that already rigged this all. They'd already planned all this. They talked it through. It was a plan. It was planned, prepared. What they hadn't planned, prepared was Jesus to look at them eyeball to eyeball. And the Bible says that oldest man felt it, dropped the stone, and rushed out. In that culture, what happened was they went to the next one. Every eyeball who knew the next one was looked at that eyeball. But Jesus also looked at him eyeball to eyeball. Until the Bible says there was not one. How would you like to have been the last one there? How many would think I'd drop mine, I'd run? He was the last one there and ran. And this woman, and I like the way because he does not condone what the woman did. Because the day of vengeance is not yet. He looked at her and he said, who condemns you? And let me say that to you this morning. Who condemns you? The Bible says that in Romans 8. If God is for you, who can be against you? Who condemns? No man, Lord. And then he said this. Just like some of you think, well, I know nobody else condemns, but God is condemned. He says, who condemns you? She said, no, where's your accuser? No, who condemns? Nobody. And Jesus said this, neither do I. Say that with me. Neither do I condemn you. And then he said this, go and don't commit adultery again. Don't be immoral. Stop doing that lifestyle. Quit it. He said, there are seasons. There are seasons. And I've learned this in my life. There are seasons when God will allow all kinds of junk to come to deal with you about a certain issue. And then when he brings it up to that extent, then he says, it's time for me to keep you from stumbling again. Because I'm able to keep you from stumbling. I'm able to give you the power to quit what you're doing. He protects you. Like last week, I told you, you come to the place where you're so, and then he protects you. And he says, now, go and sin no more. Quit what you're doing. Stop. Everybody say amen this morning, would you? So what giant yesterday? You know, I grew up in Virginia. One of the greatest things, we were coming home, Jasmine, I told Jasmine, it looked like it's cold in Louisiana. Oh, do you think it's going to snow? Do you think it'll snow? You know, one of the things growing up in Virginia, I loved was some mornings you get up, you look out the window, and it had snowed in the night. 2 feet of snow sometimes. And you know what about was? It was like everything was new. All the holes were filled in, all the jagged places, and it just looked brand new. You know where we're standing at right now? We're at the beginning of a brand new year. It's like, to me, it's like snowed. It's just like a brand new year. Nothing's been written in yet. We've just a day or two into the new year. And the Lord wants us to do it. And one of the keys I've learned about, traveling, you learn some tips about traveling. When you've done it, like we've done quite a bit of it, you learn some tips about traveling. And one thing is, don't take the kitchen sink with you when you travel. It's helped having kids grown a little bit older. We don't have to have so much stuff. But there's some tips for the trip. And let me tell you, one of the things is this. Travel as light as you can travel. Only take what you need. If you need it, buy it when you get there. Just take as less as you can travel with. When you leave last year, let me tell you, take as little as you can baggage-wise from yesterday into the new year. There's some things, let me tell you some things to leave behind. You know, Hebrews 12:1 says it this way. It says, therefore we're surrounded by a great cloud. Let us lay aside every weight. I'm going to tell you, we've been on some trips where I wondered if they left anything behind. Come on, somebody. When I met Jasmine, she had a friend named Francis, and they were very wealthy. And I remember every time we changed hotels, on our bus, there was this big old, I don't know what you call it, clothes hanger. Big old clothes, full of gowns. We're in Israel. I mean, we're in the rock country. We're in Israel. And she's got this big clothes hanger full of these evening gowns. I went to Israel one time in Greece for 2 weeks. All I took was a handbag. Come on, somebody. Travel as light as you can travel. Listen, you need to do that. And one of the keys is this. Take only what you need. Let me tell you some of the things to leave behind. Leave behind fear. When you're going to go into the new year, won't you leave fear behind in the old year? Don't take fear with you. You know, one of the keys about is, if you ever go into a bathroom of a home, it doesn't take very long to determine which side is a woman's side and which side is a man's side. Come on, somebody. It's only about five things over on the man's side. Some shaving cream, brush, and some stuff. I know we've gotten more stuff as the year's gone by, but I'm talking about real men. Come on, real men in a real bathroom. Only about four or five things over on his side. You look on the woman's side, they must have 45, 50 different things over on the women's side. 12 things on the women's side, my wife says. And so there's things you need to leave behind. And one of the things is you need to leave fear behind. You know, one of the things is also discontentment. Leave discontentment behind in last year. Farmer one time was going to sell it. He got tired of living on a farm. And he got tired and got every day he can. It was something new to criticize about his farm. So he got a real estate agent, come over and do an appraisal of the farm and then write up an ad and put it in a newspaper and sell this old farm. And right before she was to put it in the newspaper, she sent him a copy of the ad. And you ought to read it. Beautiful farm, bubbling brooks, green pastures, great barn, healthy livestock. And as he read it, he said, I've been looking for a place like this all my life. Call her up and say, don't sell, I'm staying. Come on, everybody click your heels together three times. Say, there's no place like home. Come on, somebody. Say, there's no place like home. Leave discontentment behind. You know, one of the keys about selling is trying to get you to do something quickly. You got to leave your cash and your credit cards behind when you go someplace. But do it. Leave fear behind. Take courage into the new year. We're talking about going. But listen, the French Foreign Legion used to have this motto. If I falter, push me on. If I stumble, pick me up. If I retreat, shoot me. I can tell you're excited about that. All right, let's go. Let's go to giant tomorrow. That was giant yesterday. You know, giant tomorrow can be sometimes as much a hindrance to people as giant yesterday was. And that is because we live in a society today that's looking pretty gloom. Everything that we believe in, things that we hold dear, is being trampled on right now. We're in a season when it looks like evil is triumphing. I'm not talking any political stance one way. I'm a registered Democrat. I tell you that all the time. I did it on purpose because my Listen, my heart is in heaven. My citizenship is in heaven. Come on, somebody. Now, I won't go any further than that, but I'm going to tell you and just say to you, what we believe and hold dear is being trampled on. Evil is seeming to triumph right now. And let me tell you why it's important to talk about your future, because giant tomorrow jumps up and throws fear into your heart about the future, about future children. I remember I went back one time for my 10-year or 20-year anniversary at my high school reunion. And I went back there. I remember I met a 10-year reunion, and I met one of my guys, and he had not gotten married yet. And I had neither, but he, for a different reason. I said, "Why aren't you married?" And he said, "Man," he said, "I don't want to bring kids into this world. Could you imagine trying to bring kids in?" How many know you can bring kids into this world? If Methuselah and Noah and all them can raise their kids in the culture they lived in, we can raise our kids right. Come on, somebody. The greatest influence they'll ever have is their home. The greatest influence they'll ever have is a mom and a dad and examples before them. And giant tomorrow, 2 Timothy 2 says this. Look how tomorrow can deal with today. But avoid irrelevant babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. And their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some. Now, what happens is your outlook on the future can upset your life today. Your outlook can affect how you live today. We were flying on New Year's Day. We were in a city called Ontario out in California. And we got to the airport about 11:30, 12 o'clock this time. And we knew that LSU played at 12 o'clock. We didn't, you know, we were stuck because we fly on New Year's Day and Christmas Day every year. It's the cheapest time to fly. So we went to the airport. We thought there'll be a sports bar or something in there somewhere we can watch. And we got there. Everything was closed on New Year's Day. Thing was closed down. Screens were pulled down. They had one little pizza place that was open, and they had a screen up there, and it was CNN on. You know how they put CNN on and in the airports. So I waited. It wasn't open yet, but the television was on, and I looked back there, and there was a guy, you know, getting all the materials ready to open up, probably out there about 2 o'clock our time. And I hollered back and said, "Hey," I said, "any way you could turn the game off?" He said, "What game?" I said, I don't know where. So I said, "Well, I'll go back in the back, start flipping it. You tell me when." He flipped it, and he came on Capital One Bowl. I said, "Stop right there." So we were sitting in this place, and you ought to have seen the crowd kept building as people found out there was seven. So we're watching, and you imagine when you're in an airport, you got all different sides with you. Come on, you got this side and Penn State people out there and all this. Then you got the hecklers who just want to watch a game. They don't care who wins, and it gets a little ruckus. And we're watching the game, and our flight, you know, the game extends and goes on, and the game at halftime, right before the third quarter starts, our plane starts loading. So before we left from here, we had set our cable box to tape the game for us. So our goal was, I tell you what, let's see if we can not hear the score before we get home. We'll get home, we'll go grab a pizza, we'll come home, we'll act like it's live. So we fly into Houston, and we avoid every TV because in Houston everything's open, and we don't listen to anybody talks. And we get to Baton Rouge. We haven't heard the score, haven't heard anything. We get to Baton Rouge, and we get off the airplane. We think, we made it. We're at Baton Rouge. We come down the escalator, and we start turning a right to where all the baggage is, and all you see is this mass of purple and gold jackets everywhere over there. Some charter plane had just come in from the game in Orlando, Florida. I looked at Ben and said, "I'm going to get the car, Ben." I just took out the door. And Ben put his iPod things in and kept his head down and didn't listen, didn't hear, turned his iPod up real loud and came. And we got home and ordered a pizza and all that. Got home, got a pizza, sat down, turned the TV on, ran the game to halftime and started it. Now, how many know that all the rest of you already knew the outcome of the game? You should have seen us. You're sitting at home. You're already mad and upset and all the rest of the stuff. Thank you. You can fight. But we're not that way. We got hope in our heart. We're watching it. It gets to the fourth quarter. We're all excited. We get to the last set of downs. He's driving. He's going to kick off. It's going to happen. And then with a pizza in my mouth. If you already know what's going to happen, how many know it affects you? I wouldn't have got a pizza. Come on, somebody. I'd have just come home, made cabbage, and been done with it and went on to bed. But your future, if you already know your future, it affects your today. If you already know your future out yonder, it affects your today. But see, we didn't know, but you knew. See, that's how it is right now. We don't think we know, but God knows our future. And the Bible speaks about some things. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at this, what it says. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new. Everybody say a new. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Everybody say new. The new has come. Everybody say new one more time, would you? The Bible talks about our future, and it always talks about it as new. The new has come. The new has come. And Isaiah 43 says it this way. In fact, listen to what it says. It says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing, everybody say it, a what? A new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God says, I will do a new thing in your... Paul said, if anybody's in... Everybody's in Christ, raise your hand. Which, if you're in Christ, raise your hand. All right. That means old things have passed away and new things have come. The new has come. The old has passed. The new has come. Isaiah says, behold, I do a new thing. And I want to talk about our new things the Lord is doing. Hebrews 6 and 5 says it this way. It says, we can take hold. It says, we have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the age to come. Can I tell you, there are some things that are new in my future that I can taste of them now. That I have tasted of the powers of the age that is to come. It says, I have tasted the word of God and the powers of the age to come. There's some new things out yonder in the age to come that's going to happen in the next age that I have tasted of right here, right now. I have tasted of them. I've reached over again. We're in fact taking principles of the future and putting them into effect right now. There are things we're pulling from the old and pulling into the new. Abraham, the Bible says, looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. And it affected his right now. To where earthly real estate really didn't excite him anymore. He looked into the future and looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. And it caused his today life to tell Lot, you go left, I'll go right. You go right, I'll go left. Doesn't matter to me one bit. I have seen something in the future that's affecting my right now. I've got some real estate out yonder that really made all the other real estate pale in comparison to it. Can I tell you there, your future, there's some new things. The Lord has got a new way. What new things have come? Let me give you just a couple of them, then we're going to pray this morning. Isaiah 42, the first thing that's come is a new song. Everybody say a new song. Come on, all the people that can't sing, say amen this morning. Come on. A new song has come. You know, whether you think you will or not, the Bible says in heaven, you're going to sing. You're going to sing in heaven. You know, the Bible says, and I'll tell you, you're going to sing in heaven. A new song, listen, is an added. He's not talking about the latest Hillsong or latest Chris Tomlin, the greatest Cutlass. He's not talking about go find a new song. He said, listen, look what Isaiah says. Isaiah 42, listen what he says. Quickly, new resolution. Just hit the return button and he'll go to the next one. That's all you have. There you go. Yet those who wait for the Lord. Well, that's the wrong one. Isaiah 42, go back. You got that one? Isaiah 42, verse 9 and 10. Do you have Isaiah 42, 9 and 10? Let me just tell you what it says. It says, sing unto the Lord a new what? And you know that scripture. Sing unto the Lord a new song. And a new song, listen, let me tell you what it is. Is an attitude of worship that is based on the future triumph of the Lord Jesus. One of the keys about in heaven is in heaven they sing new songs. In heaven they sing. In heaven there's music. In heaven there's worship. Brother Samuel, we're with him. And he's gotten a little bit where he likes to stay in his chair and not move. Jasmine is a dynamite for his life when she goes. In fact, when she goes, he says, Achigas, that means my love. He says, Achigas, I can't wait till you come. And after she's been there about a day or two, she says, Achigas, I can't wait till you go home. Because she pushes him and what he can eat and not eat and just prods him and gets him up. And the other night, about the fourth night in a row, we had a different family's house. And about halfway through, he got up and he gets his little walker, he goes out the door and leaves. And Jasmine, like a bulldog, goes out the door after him. And about 5-10 minutes later, he comes back in the door with Jasmine, pushing him back in the door. Sits him down, and we start remembering some things in his life. And one of the things in his life he remembered was, one morning, he woke up in bed. Naomi was laying in bed. And all of a sudden, he said, who turned on the music? Where's the radio? He was hearing music. And Naomi said, there's no music. There's no sound early in the morning. He said, no, I hear it. And he began to sing what he was hearing. And Naomi, who plays piano, knows, writes music, wrote it all down as he would sing it. And what he was hearing was, he was hearing them sing in heaven. And the song started out as, there's one who solves all problems. Can you imagine them singing that in heaven? He is the rose of Sharon, the bright and morning star. He is the mighty conqueror. His name is Jesus, my Lord. She wrote that down. He put a record out. They made a record of it. He put it out around the world. It was called the Heavenly Song. And you think, is that biblical? Absolutely is that biblical. There's a new song from eternity. Look at Acts 16. Look at this. You're talking about some guys that did not like to sing. Having received this order, he put them in the inner prison, Paul and Silas, and fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas was praying and singing. Everybody say singing hymns. You know what he was doing? If there ever was a time he didn't feel like doing what he was doing, was when he was unjustly arrested and he's sitting in jail. And sometimes like that, you don't feel like singing at that moment. You know what I believe happened? I believe the Bible says they were praying. And as they were praying, they were thinking about, you know what? I know life is bad right now. I know we're in a tough situation. But I believe they begin to think about heaven. Come on, somebody. They begin to think about the other world. They begin to think about, and you know what the Bible says? All of a sudden, a song just kind of erupted from their spirit. And I believe they begin to sing a new song to the Lord. I believe they begin to sing. And you know what happens is, your future will affect your today. 1 Samuel 16, Jesus, the Bible says this. Saul was in being tormented by demons. And little David began to play the harp, and I believe he began to sing also. And the Bible says, out of that became a deliverance in you. Can I tell you, there's some things that you'll not get out of until you take hold of your tomorrow and you bring your tomorrow into your today. When you bring in your tomorrow, you begin to bring in the song. One of the new things that God wants, old has passed, new, what new things? Well, we've tasted of the power of the age to come. We think of that as great healings. But there's all kinds of things in the powers of the age. One thing is a new song. You're going to be singing in the new age. You're going to be singing in heaven all the time. Listen, there's no depression in heaven. There's no tears in heaven. No bad neighbors in heaven. Come on, somebody. There's no money problems and money woes in heaven. No inflation in heaven. No borrowing in heaven. And the Bible says we're going to, everybody say a new song. It's a new song that we sing. And that includes, look at Revelation. It says, in fact, go to the Revelation. Go to the next one. It says, they sang a new song. Everybody say they sang a new song. Worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals for you. They didn't say this. They sang it. And the Bible speaks, and you can look at it, it speaks about all of us. And it starts with a new song, and it speaks about all of us that were redeemed from the Lord is singing a new song. I wrote a new song this morning. Put that new song up there, would you? I wrote a song this is just mine, so it's not prepared yet. Help me, Lord. Oh, I've really messed everything up now. Let's see. Let me cut this thing off. I was reading Jude 24 and 25 the other day. Oh, man, what have I done? I turned it off and now I've messed it all up. Okay. All right, play. All right, let's try it. And I was just reading Jude 24 and 25. Let me show you how this works. I was just reading Jude 24 and 25 the other day. And this melody just came to me. And I don't have the words anywhere, but I'll just have to believe it. And it just came to me, and it was to him who is able. What did I do with it? I have to look quicker. All right, I got a copy of it? All right, I remember what it said. And this is hot off the press this morning. I finished writing it. And this is how it works. Because I was just reading this scripture the other day. And here's what we're going to do this year. If you have not gotten the Bible reading, the daily Bible reading, I want you to get it. Because I'm going to talk about it more next week. But I want you to write the word SOAP, S-O-A-P. I want you to get you a little pamphlet. And I want you to every day take one scripture out of whatever you read. And that's what the S stands for. S stands for scripture. And then O, S-O-A-P, O stands for observation. I want you to make an observation about it. And that is, I want you to think about it. I want you to consider it. And out of that observation, A, S-O-A, is application. That day, make an application of that scripture for you today. Today, I'm going to speak the truth and not lie. I'll make a point. Today, I'm going to be merciful. Today, I'm going to believe that God is, and what's what I did on this scripture right here. And then P is prayer. You pray about it, S-O-A-P. You pray it through them that morning before you leave. And I was reading Jude. In fact, can you put Jude 24 and 25? Just put the verse up there first. And I was reading that verse, and it just said this. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. And I never saw that word present. I always heard preserve, but never present. And I started thinking about how God is going to present us one day, blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. And then verse 25 says, the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, authority. And then this phrase grabbed me was before all time, now and forever. And listen, this little melody just came to my heart. This is for me, but I'll sing it for, this is mine for me, but I'll sing for two. Don't remember the song now. Come on, somebody. I don't remember the song. To him who is able to keep you, present you, be glory before all time. Now and forever. Sing that again. To him who is, able to keep you, present you, be glory before all time. Now and forever. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. He's able to keep you, present you. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. He's able to keep you, present you. Come on, give the Lord a good clap off. Amen. And let me tell you what you ought to do. You know, that wasn't refined, and when you do it, you may forget it. But you know what you need to do? When you begin to read scripture, you ought to just, okay, got it done, finished for the day, forget about it. You ought to turn it into a song. You ought to turn it into a poem. You ought to turn it into something you remember. And what you do is, when you get the word, there's a new song that can come in your heart. And what happens is, you don't realize it, but that new song can change you during that day. What you receive, because, see, I believe that God, there's a new song. I'm going to be singing one day with you, with the angels, with the seraphims and the cherubims. I believe one day I'm going to be singing a new song. So I reach out into the future and grab that new song for today. And it affects my today. It makes me alive. No matter what I go through, no matter what the stock market is doing, no matter what the government has done, I begin to sing a new song. One day it's not going to affect that new song that I'm singing before God. Everybody say a new song, would you? Then the second thing to take into the new year with you is a new strength. Isaiah 40:31 says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And it literally says, get new strength. Isaiah 40, come on, next one. He's able to keep you and present you. The next one says he's going to be able to give you new strength. Got it? Everybody say a new strength, would you? A new strength. I believe that every day of our life, we look in eternity, that God will begin to give us a new strength. Psalms 103 says it this way. You're going to be renewed like an eagle. An eagle has the ability to renew its strength. Some of you are weak right now. Some of you came through some tough holiday seasons with relatives you wished you never could see again until next year. Some of you made some bad decisions financially. Some of you, you know, when we grew up, my dad was Mr. Santa Claus. He didn't have a lot of money, but he bought and charged. And when we had great Christmases, it took him the entire year to pay off the previous Christmas. And he would do it all again the next Christmas. Some of you need a new strength. And one of the things in heaven, listen, nobody is tired in heaven. Come on, somebody. Nobody's weak. Nobody's ready to fall. They will get new. The more I wait on the Lord, listen, I've learned this. Whatever problems is, you start gaining new strength when you reach. See, the Bible says I can taste of the powers of the age to come. And there's some time when I begin to just cry out to the Lord and I get a new strength. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says this. It says, fear not, for I am with you. Everybody say that. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. And I've learned into the new year, one of the things I'm taking with me is a new strength. Maybe you're dull. Maybe you've got blunted. Look at verse 15. This is what it says about, behold, I made you a new, everybody say sharp. What they used to have was these threshing instruments and they were sharp. And God said, I've made you. And what grabbed me when I read that verse was, God, I've made you sharp. All the dull people say amen. Come on, all the dull people say amen. Oh, you know what you need to do? You need to say, God, I'm coming in this new year sharp. I'm not going to be dumb. I'm not going to be dull. I'm going to be sharp for the Lord. Maybe you've gotten dull and blunted so many problems. But the Bible says this. One of the keys about fasting is one of the greatest ways to sharpen yourself is fasting. How many know when you don't eat breakfast, sort of around lunchtime, you get real sharp? Come on, somebody. Especially if you got caffeine, headache, and all the rest going in place. All right, everybody. And then the third thing is a new name. Listen to this, Isaiah 62, real quick. Nation shall cease your righteousness and all the kings of glory, and you shall be called, everybody say a new name. Did you know one of the things that Jesus did when he walked on earth, when people came near him, he gave him a new name. There was a guy named Simon, been called Simon by his mama. His daddy called him Simon, named him when he was a little boy, got circumcised by the name Simon. He lives all his life. He lives, you know, 10, 20 years, Simon. One day he meets the man from Galilee. He meets Jesus of Nazareth. And the first thing Jesus does to him is he changes his name. You no longer will be called Simon. He said, I'm going to call you a new name. I'm going to call you Peter. There's no derivative of that. It's a totally different name. I'm going to call you. Did you know in heaven I'm not going to be called Terry? Oh, there's Pastor Terry. There's Pastor Terry. That's not going to be my name in heaven. The Bible says I'm getting a new name. Now, some of you are glad of that. Come on, somebody. Some of you, when your name is spoken in your town where you grew up, oh, he's one of them. Oh, he's one of those. Oh, he's one of those. Can I tell you, a new name speaks of character. A new name. And you know what the Bible says? We're going to take, and I won't go, I don't have time. We're going to take the name of Jesus. Jesus has a new name, and the Bible says he's going to give us that new name, and it's going to be in conjunction with his name. And our identity is, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't think we're all going to sit on the little pad up in heaven and had a new banana, me some grapes, and in this great glory, hallelujah. I believe God's got all kinds of work for us throughout the universe. I believe that the God we serve is so creative. How many have ever watched National Geographic? You ever seen that monkey that his rear end is bald? You ever seen that guy and he's got an orange? We serve a creative God. Come on, somebody. You can't look at National Geographic and not think we serve a dull God. There's orangutan. There's animals that are just blow your mind. And I can't imagine heaven being where we just all kind of lay back, kick back, prop our feet. And I believe there's, just like the angels now are appearing in this world for us, God's got things in store and planned forever and ever. But when we show up, that world's like, oh, that's Terry Workman. Look, that's Terry Workman. I remember him. I heard about his family was drunks back yonder. And his whole family was drunks. They're not going to hear that. I'm going to have a new name. And in it's going to be the name of Jesus. The Bible says he gets a new name. I don't want to go into all that. And when I go as his representative, the Bible says, I'm going to have his name and I will show up in some worlds around the universe as the representative of Jesus Christ and whatever my new name. Come on, somebody. Whatever name you got right now, don't worry about it. You got a new one on the way. Come on, somebody. And you ought to read it because Paul said the same thing. He said, one day, don't you know we're going to rule angels, not just judge them, rule over them. And I tell people all the time, start acting like who you are right now. Start acting like can you imagine the angels in heaven looking down on us? And somebody, they look at a church. Amen, it's so-and-so because he didn't invite me over. I invited them. I gave them a gift. I sent them a Christmas card. They didn't send me a Christmas card. And that angel says, they're going to judge us. They're going to rule over us. Start acting like who you are. Huh? Come on, look at somebody and say, start acting like who you are. Just say it to somebody one more time. We're almost done. Everybody say amen. Come and say amen. Start experiencing a new name right now. And God began to do that. Listen, Zacharias, when he got saved, he had so much integrity. He gave all the money. Just knew there's going to be a new heaven, new earth. All right, everybody stand up. That's enough today. Everybody stand up this morning, would you? I just want you to bow your heads. And I want you to begin to say this. Listen, you're about to enter into the new year. Take as little with you as from the old year as you can. Leave the baggage behind. Don't take 16 suitcases with you in the new year. Leave the baggage behind and go into the new year fresh. Take hold of the new things that God wants to do in your life this year. Father, I ask you this morning that whatever giant of yesterday or giant of tomorrow is blocking your voice to your child, this morning I pray that it would be rolled away. I pray, Lord, what you want to say into their life today, there'd be a new, and I pray in this 21 days of fasting coming up, that, Lord, there would be a renewing of the ability to hear. He that hath ears would begin to hear what you say to the churches, that we begin to sense and see you. I pray for people right now that's being tormented by their past. Lord, I pray for them that need to be broken free, those that need to be released. Those that need to sin no more, that today would be a day when you brought them and you've confronted them and today they'll make things right. They need to go back to somebody to do it. If they need to make things legal, they would. If they get to a place where they need to be right before you today, they'd say, Lord, today I make a commitment to forgive themselves. And then maybe those that are facing giant tomorrow, they're afraid of what the future holds. Lord, we just reach out into the future and take hold of the new things that you've got for us. Father, I pray a blessing upon us this year. I pray it in the name of Jesus. Everybody said amen this morning. Would you do that? Could you give him a great clap offering this morning? Would you do that? Come on. Turn around, hug somebody. God bless you and go and eat no more. Amen. You're dismissed.